Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part two of our two-part interview with Terry Christian, a former motivational speaker and executive trainer with over 20 years of experience and 2,500 presentations to both public and private audiences throughout America and Canada. He is an avid reader of the Bible, but just not the Bible, but especially the words in red. And his story is one that you do not want to miss. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, go back to episode number 401 and catch up, because this is, the devil did not want this book published, and he fought him at every turn, bringing trial and tragedy continuously upon him every time he tried to get it, the final edits, and get it published. But here his interview is. Here's part two. We're jumping right back into the interview with Terry Christian. Now, you've become a minister, a Christian counselor. How has that career changed, influenced you in writing this book?
Well, what I did was in the book. Before the book came out, I did counseling, and I did it online under Help in Christ. And I just was able to see how many different ways and views people see religion, see Christianity. I mean, totally different ways that they see it, even the same Bible. And so the amount of people that I talk to who never read all four Gospels, They perused them. They might have read them over a period of a year, but it's not the same as reading a gospel in a day, reading a gospel in a weekend, concentrating on the book to find out what really happened. You can read all four gospels in a month, and I met Christians who haven't read all four in 20 years. Yeah. And so the statistics were really high on this, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do that's not already being done? Because I was hesitant. I don't have the calling to help the lost. I have the calling to serve God's will. I just don't have the calling to help the lost, like is there in the evangelism, like you have yourself. I'm all for that, but I don't have the calling. Right. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to teach my people what I said.
Amen.
Tell them what I said and nothing more. Amen. And so my instructions is to take four Gospels. Mm-hmm. I composed the book, seven messages. There's over 500 Bible verses spoken by Jesus to those who loved and followed him. There's no religious arguments going on here, no political arguments going on in this book. It's done. So if you were following him, if you're sitting there and you're at the Sermon of the Mount, then you're going to like this book. If you want to know what Jesus said to those who loved and followed him, you'll like the book. So the book is written in a way and composed. I have no added opinions in the book. It's pure.
Okay.
From message one to message seven, there's no words of opinion from me.
What are those seven areas?
Well, the first area is called the Christ. Now, I'll give it to the seven in real quick.
Okay.
Message one is the Christ. Message two is the Father and Son. Message three is the Word. Message four is I am the way, the truth, and the life. Message five is the kingdom of heaven. Message six is the end times. Message seven is the Holy Spirit. And then I end on what's called his last prayer, and that's John 17 in its entirety.
Amen. Amen.
So now it's based on, I took everything in the four Gospels that was in red and everything that Jesus applied to being the Christ, I put it into message one in a way that you're walking down the beach with Jesus and he's talking with you.
Amen.
And there's no interaction. He's just talking to you. But everything he said about, like in the Gospel of John, I've come down from heaven to do my Father's will. Everything my Father has told me, this is what I speak. I do not speak my own words, but I speak what my Father tells me. Well, that's in the front part of the Christ. He invites us in, to give our life up, to come to his, learn from him, be taught from him. Now, that's message one. It's about a 5-minute audio book segment, but it's rich in pure words. And then comes the Father and Son. Well, every time Jesus linked himself and the Father and the Son in the four Gospels, the ones that weren't repetitive, I put in here so that he was saying, my Father and I are one. What he tells me to do, I do. And he tells us about his relationship with his Father, and he's the Son.
Amen. Right?
So then comes message three, called the Word. Every time Jesus talked about the Word, you know, and the sower of the Word and the power for the words, if you believe me, you'll do my words. If you don't, you won't. Trust my words. Everything, when he said, my words are this and my word is that, I put it in that message three. Because it's a concentrated teaching devotional. What did Jesus say about being the Word and the power of words, how our words convict us or justify us or condemn us, and to be aware of the words. So that's a heavy part. And then I get to message four, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What a lot of people don't know, Pastor Bob, is Jesus talks more about heaven and hell than anybody else. He talks about love, light, truth, marriage, faith, no anger, no resentment, how to be a disciple. It's all subject matter. And even though some of the pages that he speaks about are only one page, it's what he says in the one page. Right. Now, for instance, I'll give you this one page on believing. Now, how many times have you heard people tell their prayers, say, I believe this, I believe this, nothing ever happens?
Nothing changes, yeah.
Now, we know in the book of James, James says no prayers are answered for the double-minded person.
That's right.
It just doesn't happen. That the most powerful five pages I've ever read on how to use your mind is in the book of James. But if we believe Jesus above James, above all of them, because he's our Lord and he speaks for God, here's what Jesus said. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So if you don't have them and they're in God's will, then we must question your belief. Because if your actions don't match your prayer of belief after you've said your prayer of belief, you really didn't believe in it.
Amen. Now, let me stop right over there, because I get flack all the time for taking that stance. And people, especially from, lack of a better word, I'll call them the reformist movement. You know, while it's not anything to do with your believing, it's just God's will that you don't have it. But my concept is, if it's in the Word, it's there for a purpose. And Jesus said, believe, and it's yours. But because if you don't have it, that means God doesn't want you to have it. I said, they're taking a twist on that scripture, and I don't understand that.
Well, first of all, they have to take a twist on it, because what if it was true? What if it is about your faith? What if it is about your belief? Now, I went through a long period of time. We don't know how long Job went through his stuff.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
I pray believing, and then I work on my actions to support my belief, because God would know my heart.
Yep.
So you can't walk on the water till you step off the land.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If Peter stepped out of the boat and was walking until he took his eyes off of Jesus and got faith, fear, and then he drowned, Jesus said, why did you lose your faith? That's all. That was what it's about.
Yep.
So I take issue with these, what I call these man-made religions that form opinions that conflict with what Jesus said to make it look better for them not performing.
Yep, exactly. I liken it to a baseball player is in a game-winning situation, goes up to the plate, as if it's God's will for me to have a hit, the ball will hit the bat, I won't even have to swing.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't work that way. You got to take the swing.
But look, we are trained. Christianity is a pro-action sport.
Yeah.
You are trained. Even Paul talks about the training. Mm-hmm. There's so much taught about religion that there's not very much performed in it. They're trying to use, wonders and great things that they can do instead of the simplicity of love and truth and forgiveness.
Amen. What's the next topic area?
Well, after the whole beret of things that we need to learn, I mean, Jesus spoke about marriage, divorce, adultery, Christian brotherhood, discipleship. He talked about all those things, so we ought to find out what he said and do what he said. But then comes the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of conversation about what does it take to get to heaven, but Jesus came from heaven.
Yep.
And here's what he said to do. Now, we can put a different twist on what Jesus said to do, but I don't know how we're allowed to do that.
Right.
So now we get into the conflict. Do we repent? Does it matter if we repent, really? Do we just say it? Do we repent? Do we get baptized? Does it really matter if we're baptized in water? And they break it down almost like the Garden of Eden story, don't eat this fruit. Mm-hmm. And they start, you know, Eve and then starts the debate of why not?
Right.
And are you sure about this? And so we get into what does it take to get to salvation when the whole thing is built on loving obedience?
Yeah. Amen.
And if we're not going to do what Jesus said, what are we going to say? We did what Paul said or Peter? And then you see the great conflicts of the religions based on Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter. Well, I think that's why God allowed the four Gospels to be written after Peter and Paul died. Mm-hmm. I mean, you consider how pure the four Gospels are and Book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. That should be the great study. Because if we say, well, Paul did everything that Jesus said to do, okay, that's great. But now let's do everything Jesus said to do now that we know what Jesus said to do.
Yeah.
Because Paul, let's give Paul and Peter the credit. They had access to what Jesus said. And so they said a whole lot more than what they wrote down in their epistles.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thank you. So now I appreciate everything they said, but now let's back it up. Now we know what Jesus said in its fullness. Mm-hmm. So we have 30,000 different denominations around the world calling themselves Christians, debating Paul's issues and Peter's issues, and not following, on the most part, what Jesus said, who started it all.
Right, exactly.
That's my conflict with that isolated area.
Amen, amen. What makes this book so different from other Christian books?
The difference in this book is the fact that there is no opinions coming from me to conflict what Jesus said in his message.
That's awesome.
And that's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Just tell him what Jesus said, and I'll take it from there.
Amen.
Because you cannot flush your mind with what Jesus said as long as there's no other words in it, just what he said, and not feel invigorated and feel purer just by your mind being flushed. So when you read this or you hear the audio, there's no separation time. It's all pure what's in red. And so even when the message ends, Jesus sits down, we sit down with him. He says, peace be with you. He gets up, he starts walking and talking, and we follow him. That's how the theme of the book goes.
Amen.
So you just never have any dialogue with me.
Amen.
Reverend Christian plays no part in this conversation while you're reading this book. You will only when you get to the back of the book, after everything's already done, you will see a page from me that says, Conclusions in Christ.
Amen.
And that's it. And
who is this book written for? I mean, what were the demographics? What are the demographics that you believe would be most blessed by reading this book?
Well, I wrote the book. I composed the book knowing that this is the one book that could be in every single Christian's room.
Amen.
Because it's non-denominational, it non-denominations, non-opinionated. It's not a personality-driven minister. I'm not trying to create a church. I'm not giving you opinions. I'm saying this is what Jesus said.
Amen.
And it's not even, it means it's not about the political religious times. I believe Jesus was far more than Jewish.
Yeah.
Jesus was God's son picked and the Jews and the religion was created to be the spokesperson of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did this show a couple weeks ago and I was across from a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that all Christian religions are a cult and a fraud. And that was where his basis was, okay? And he's what we might call a Christian Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very strong and he was very adamant. You could see he was very hurt, too, by all the competition that he had to deal with and the arguing and debating on the world stage of Christianity. And I said I didn't know how I could argue with him too much about his point of view of Christian, so many different Christian religions being a cult.
Uh-huh.
I said, but I just can't really get carried away on the Jewish religion either, because I'm not quite sure any man-made religions has succeeded so far. Because when Jesus said, Moses gave you divorce because of the hardening of your hearts, but in the beginning it wasn't so. Jesus spoke about the beginning before man started trimming what God wanted.
Yep. Amen.
And so I am all about the beginning. I'm not about how we trim the message to suit the audience. I'm about trimming the audience to suit the message that Jesus said. Because if you take the four Gospels and you take the book of Revelation out of that Bible of ours, you have a very void book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. What do you think Jesus would have to say about the days in which we live today?
Well, I would, you know, when, you know, you asked me that. Now, of course, I live in Negril, Jamaica, and I'm from America, okay? My life is from America. And I see the falling of America's moral fiber.
Yeah.
Okay? And the internet has only brought in around the world what existed around the world.
Right.
It didn't create what it existed. It reveals what is existed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Jesus would, I mean, I think we're clearly in the end times of the Sodom and Gomorrah rule of life, where there is no morality anymore. There is no code anymore. And I'm just astounded when the more mature I got in understanding Christianity and how America fell from grace mm-hmm. by its own moral corruption within its own religious structure.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's the part that hurts. So I think Jesus would, I think he would just say, let's get ready.
Amen.
Yeah.
What do you believe Jesus expects from his followers, Christian believers, today?
Well, Pastor Bob, what would cause us to believe that he would expect anything out of what he already said in the beginning? Mm-hmm. And therefore, if we did what he said from a loving, obedient point of view, then we would be trusting God that's putting us in our places of life.
Amen.
But there's such a man-made religious perception out there of what to do, and Christianity has become a limbo. How low can you go and still get into heaven instead of realizing that the whole thing was to separate us on earth, to be divided on earth so that we're together, Christians, not against the world, the Christians representing love, light, and truth, and that creates a division right there. But now we can't find the division when as many Christians are being divorced as there are non-Christians being divorced.
Yeah, amen.
Go into the churches and it's 80%, 90% women.
Yep.
Yet they're not allowed to teach. So our own religiosity has been the most embarrassing thing that I've found in my lifetime. And if it wasn't for understanding this simplistic message of what Jesus said, I do not think I would have lived very well at all, because I was in a lukewarm swimming pool.
Yeah. Yeah,
of Christianity, and that is not where it's supposed to be.
Right. Amen. Terry, I have what is called my lightning round of questions. This is a series of randomly selected questions from a list I have about 25 or so that I've been asked over the years, and I know other pastors and ministers have been asked before. I'd like to give you five or six of them, just a short answer to each question. Would you be willing to do that?
Well, let's see what the Lord has in mind.
All right. Just a short answer to each question. We're not going to go over all 25.
All right.
Okay. First question, how can you know for sure there is a God?
Well, I guess that would be now we're trying to do something intelligently or logically, and I never questioned that there was a God. If it takes two to make one, where did the first one come from? Mm-hmm. And so because I was raised knowing God existed, in my pursuit of God, I don't really know how to answer that other than how do you know he doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, so I don't have a flippant answer for that one.
Well, I think you covered this a little bit during the first part of the interview when you're talking about you studied the inner workings of the body, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
the
mechanism that, you know, if something that complex works that perfect, there had to be a designer.
And we live in a cosmos of order, not a chaos of disorder.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to give it that, whatever word that we want to put on it.
Yeah, amen. Okay, next question. How can you know for sure that you are saved?
Now, that is a very good question, and you know because you know what you did.
Yeah.
Okay, you looked in your heart, and you saw, and you asked forgiveness, and you repented. You saw the depth of man's inhumanity to man, and you're part of it. You saw it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, we didn't touch the TV screen. If we touch that TV screen, we better see it in the living room we're at or wherever we are. Because if we don't see it in our heart, touching someone else's hand is not going to give it to us. I'll tell you that.
Yep. Amen.
It's being born again. It's not transmitted from human to human.
Why are there poor people who believe in God and rich people who do not?
Well, Jesus said God puts the rain on the rich and the poor. Okay, and money has so much to do with opportunity and consciousness, what you're working on, how you're doing it. Money has so much to do. Prosperity has so much to do with more than just money. We are in a capitalistic society, and I think that a lot of it has to do with the attitude we hold while we're going about it and God's what we're doing in God's will, right? I just don't blame God for when it's not working for me. But if I'm doing what I know God wants me to do, I can look and see, okay, God, now this is you too. What's happening? What is it I'm not getting? Amen. I think people just give up in their own attitudes and they judge what other people have must be a reflection of who they are. Mm-hmm. And that was the mistake made during the Job days.
Yep. Amen.
Okay. Because Job was not what he had. Job was who he was.
Amen. All right. Besides the Bible, what book are you reading right now?
Okay, I'm not reading anything else other than the Bible.
Okay.
Because I've already read a lot of the other books, and when it got time to put the What Did Jesus Say book together, I had to read How Did the Bible Get Formed, what happened during the 300s and the 1600s, what happened in the first 100, how many different religions are now with their opinions. So I put an ad in a magazine one time on my book, and the owner of that magazine said, Reverend Christian, who is it out there in the public eye now that you think you best associate with that we would know what kind of Christianity that you support and believe in? Hmm. I said, are you serious? I said, I'm in my 60s. You think I could point to anybody today that could possibly be the same next year? Are you serious? I could give you 10 of the greatest ones of the past that never made it. So I have to believe what Jesus said. So if you believe what Jesus said, then you're going to understand what I said. And they said, that's the best answer we heard, no problem, and put the ad in the paper. So I don't read the other people's opinions. I pray a lot, and I seek what Jesus wants me to do. I get up in the morning and say, good morning, God. Now what do you want me to do? It is just that way.
Yeah, amen, amen. All right, last question. If you woke up tomorrow morning and realized your entire life was just a dream, but yet you're able to keep all of the experiences and the complete memory of everything that happened, what would you do? How would you go about doing it? And why? And I always get that long pause.
You mean I could begin again with everything I know now?
Correct. Yep.
Oh, well, if I could begin again with everything I know now, I would just do everything I'm now doing.
Hey, man, good answer. I love that one.
I would not waste the time I wasted with doing things that wasn't relative. I mean, wasn't relevant.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's all. Amen. That was a good answer. That's probably one of the best answers I've had. Terry, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join us today. And your book would be great for a Bible study or as a devotional, things like that. Is that correct?
Absolutely, because each of the seven messages stand by themselves.
Amen.
So they can be a teaching tool. Even the last message, the last prayer, which is all of John 17.
Yeah.
But you hear it with music as if it's midnight. The seven messages on audio, when you're walking down the beach, you hear the seagulls and you hear the ocean. Amen. And so you hear my voice, and the book is just pure, so when you want to really know what it's like to walk with the Master purely without religious interruptions, that's what I believe the book will be known for.
So it's available as an audio book, and you recorded it yourself?
Yes, it's in a written book form, and it's in an EPUB, Kindle, and an audio book. We're just launching our new version of the EPUB and audio book by the end of this week. Actually, it's being reformatted, but it's very pure in and of itself. They can go to my website, wdjsbook.com, and see it there.
Okay. Yeah. What was that website again?
WDJSbook.com stands for What Did Jesus Say? Book.com. Right. And then my ministry website is foundationsforlife.org. Foundationsforlife.org.
Amen. All right. Now, it's also available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Folks, I'm going to be getting this book, and I think you need to get this book, either for yourself or even better yet, get two copies, one for you and one to give to a friend, because you cannot get any better biblical resource than studying the words of Jesus. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. And I'll be putting the links in the show notes below so you can order directly from these links. Terry, if someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question or perhaps to do an interview such as this, how can they get in touch with you?
You can email me at terry@revchristian.com. Rev, R-E-V, revchristian.com. And I'll be happy to respond. I'm available to do interviews and do shows on the internet. I expect to live the rest of my life where I am in Negril, but I'm provided a very strong internet signal, and I look forward to doing interviews and counseling from here.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Get this book. Click the links. Get the book. You need it. I mean, this book is probably going to be right up there, one of the top ones that'll be on my bookshelf, because it'll be a reference, just a handy reference guide to have. And Terry, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us today. I really do. And I look forward to following up with you maybe in a few months, see how the relaunch went for your audiobook, and just to catch up, because you're just a dear brother in Christ, and such a connection. I want to stay in touch with you. Sound good?
Sounds great. I love it.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. And for Terry Christian and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.